If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how are you doing today?
It's Hashibori, Chris. I'm feeling good. I am learning Japanese words by watching a little channel that I like to call the Abroad in Japan YouTube channel. I am now all caught up. I've watched the Nagakin Capsule Hotel video. I've also watched the Treasure Island one as well. So don't worry, Chris. I am completely across things and everything's, I just know what's going on in your world, to be quite frank.
Good man. Did you enjoy the Treasure Island, Natsuki Desert Island episode that came out?
I very much enjoyed the fact that Natsuki brought a handheld metal detector that is used outside sporting events and nightclubs.
It was so useless. It was a cool trip though. Like I wanted to be a pirate. I think I've talked about that many times. I do something about being a pirate, the sense of adventure. Like, did I tell you the time I told a teacher I wanted to be a pirate, like a Japanese teacher, in front of the class, and she didn't find it funny, far from funny. She said, "Why would you want to kill and rape people?" And I was standing in front of 40 children, like...
You're just looking at the bad aspects of being a pirate. Don't mug me off like this.
I don't know what version of Muppet's Treasure Island she'd been watching, but it was very... kind of abrupt and awkward. She was an odd teacher. She just didn't get the sarcastic humour. She just took everything at face value, and it was a rather awkward scenario. But it was good fun.
A lot of the times when you say that Japan doesn't really do self-depreciation or sarcasm, it's very much they don't get your self-depreciation or sarcasm.
Yeah, maybe it's me. Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
Yeah,
I remember one time a teacher told me I should like run up a mountain, and I said, I'd rather throw myself in front of a train. And he sort of looked just shocked at this admission that I would rather do something
I was
like that.
Actually suicidal.
And then he went, "Oh, you are being ironic." And I went, "Yes." And it's just so awkward. And I just went, "Okay, I'm going over here now."
I find that when people have to explain their own jokes, how good the joke is really is quite exposed.
Well, I've just got a message from Natsuki while doing this, and it just says, Okay, baby, with a smiley face.
Oh, lovely.
That's kind of, I don't know why you said that. That's quite scary. We launched his Cameo. You remember about a month ago now.
Yeah.
Was it a month ago? We talked about doing Cameo, right? When Natsuki sends video messages to people. I haven't even promoted it yet.
Yeah.
I haven't even officially launched it. There's already a few requests on there. And it's become a nightmare because I have to translate people's requests into Japanese. Then Natsuki sends me what he wants to say in Japanese. Then I convert that into English. And then Natsuki sort of reenacts it and does a video. We're going to have to find a way to streamline this nightmare process. The whole idea of Cameo, getting Natsuki to send messages to folks that like him, was to be simple and fun. A nice little
help him out a little bit.
Side thing for him to do. But now it's just taking up all my time.
Yeah, I mean, why don't people send in their requests in Japanese? Maybe people could send in their requests simply. Just sort of say... just say hello, say the person's name. That's all you're going to get out of him. Just go that way. Simplify your request.
What if someone sends a message like, my mum's died and I want cheering up that ski?
Okay, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, and it like mistranslates it like I'm having a party Natsuki or something. And he's like, yeah, good time.
That was literally a scene from The Office US where Daryl's grandma dies and people think, you know, when in an office you pass around a card and people just assumed it was his birthday, so they were going, yeah, have a great time, man. Congratulations. Woo, party time.
Seem to become a frightening reality potentially. Yeah, but I don't know. It's a bit worrying. It's a bit worrying, but hopefully we'll iron it out and it will get good. And Natsuki won't need me to do it. He can just run it through a decent translator. There's a good translation service called DeepL. DeepL. Ooh. It's head and shoulders above anything else. A lot of professional translators use it, and then they often go through and like correct it. Yeah, right. DeepL. It's the best way to translate between English and Japanese, I think. So
is it AI or is it free? Is it
it's free, yeah, yeah. It is free. Yeah. I'm not really sure how it's done, like how it's so effective, but yeah, a lot of folks I know, both Japanese and non-Japanese, use it to translate between languages, and it does do the job a lot better than bloody Google Translate does, admittedly. But yeah. Are you gonna get a cameo request for Natsuki, Pete? We're gonna get one from you.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, depending on how expensive it is, to be quite frank, look, I've just bought a house. Got to think about the pennies, mate. Got to look after the pennies.
I can't remember what we set the price at. I think it's like $30 or something, of which Natsuki gets 80% and 20% goes to Cameo or something. But I think, you know, just pick a friend that you want to be told to go fuck themselves. And then get that as a question, Natsuki. Job done.
I know you feel like you have to get your money's worth because you want a long message, but Natsuki has very little English, so it's not going to be of much help to you. So just tell him to do a swear, tell him to swear at somebody you know, and then, you know, there you go. There's your video.
I had money spent.
This wrestler called the Great Khali, a very unlovable crap wrestler, but he's a giant. He's under the giant size, massive guy from either India or Pakistan. I think he might be Pakistani. He didn't speak any English or much English. He was not a showman, let's say. He wasn't good on the mic, wasn't particularly good at wrestling. And somebody got a cameo from him, and it was awful. It was like 4 minutes of just nonsense.
4 minutes?
4 minutes of nonsense. It got money's worth, but I didn't enjoy watching it.
What did he say for 4 minutes?
I just talked about
life advice.
He just talked about, just bits and bobs, really. And then halfway through, his little daughter starts crawling on his head.
Oh my God.
It was very confusing, but you know.
The wacky world of cameo and video messages. I'm quite interested to see how it turns out. Even if it, you know, if it's a disaster, we'll just stop doing it after a month. But until that day, let's see how it goes. Maybe it'll be good. Maybe Natsuki can cheer some people up and dispense some smiles around the world. We got a story this week from a listener called Juno from Oregon. It says, hello, guys, my favourite podcasting dynamic duo. I have a weird experience in Japan story for both of you guys. When I was 17, I saw a slightly sketchy-looking poster at my community college offering study abroad in a small town in Japan. It ended up being legit. So at the end of the school year, I flew to a small town in Niigata Prefecture along the Sea of Japan. About a week or two after arriving, we were told we would participate in the Nagaoka Edamame Festival, in the edamame eating competition, because they wanted international teams. We arrived at the venue, and there were a bunch of teams of three people in all kinds of crazy costumes, like businessmen in schoolgirl uniforms, various handmade edamame-themed costumes, traditional Japanese costumes, and so on, going up onto the stage to face off in a competition of eating 500 grams of edamame as fast as possible while the judges commentated. But that was interesting. My team went up, and let me tell you, it was an experience. There are cameras in your face. You're trying to eat edamame as fast as possible. An audience is watching you and commentators are saying who knows what. The other teams had clearly trained for this and had a technique of popping all the edamame beans into their mouth at once. But my team had no technique and we finished way after the opposing team, at which point the audience was sort of awkwardly just sitting there in silence and the judges were telling us to hurry the hell up. We finished dead last, but now I can say that I was in an edamame eating competition in Japan. Only in Japan would you find such a competition, I think. Now I'm heading back to Niigata to do an ALT with the JET program. Thank you, Chris, for sparking my interest in small town rural Japan. And thank you both for all your content. Juno from Oregon. And PS, yesterday our trailer broke down and caught fire. Oh, good God. So we had to wait on the side of the road for an hour until it showed up. My mum captured a photo of me wearing my Fufuksaki merchandise, which I think perfectly sums up the situation. And there's a photo of Juno in a field next to a pony looking amused. God,
slightly cheesed off.
Slightly, yeah, confused by the events of the burning trailer. Good God. I'm glad you're safe, though.
I like the fact that, when the word Oregon pops into our mind or pops into our
Oregon
ears,
Trail,
we do think about the Oregon Trail, and
you do, yeah.
And Juno's just got a horse at the side of the road when the trailer caught fire. It's like, wow, it's you really do live up to your reputation, Juno. But what a great opportunity, and. What annoys me is they've been press ganging it and doing that bloody edamame eating contest. Like they have no expertise in that area. The Americans presumably don't eat a lot of edamames compared to all of the other beans. It's I don't think it's very fair. I think it's terrible stuff.
I think it's a pretty easy challenge though. I love edamame. Like you know when you go into an izakaya and you get your beer and that's the first thing that comes on the table. They're nicely salted. They're warm. Freshly boiled, and you just sort of pop them in your mouth and you can't stop. And I love it. Absolutely love it. Can't be beat. But I just love the idea that Juno saw like a poster and it was like, come Japan, it'll be good. And she was like, all right. And then went to Japan. I ended up in the middle of nowhere in Niigata and just did an edamame eating competition. It's so random, but brilliant. And there's nowhere else in Japan that does that, to my knowledge.
No.
Only in Nagaoka can you get such an experience. And I haven't been to Niigata recently. Everyone loves Niigata. I know you love Niigata. I was speaking to Connor the other day, and it's his favourite thing. Whereas I'm like, I don't like Niigata. It's all right, but there's not a whole lot there. And I think it's because I've driven across it a lot. Like Niigata is one big plain that stretches down the coastline between Yamagata and Toyama. And it's just relentless driving across it. It's never fun.
Yeah.
But everyone's always had good experiences there. Like Connor had a nice sake brewery tour. I think you had the same sake brewery tour yourself.
Didn't actually do the tour, mate. Just stood in the gift shop looking a bit awkward.
Standard evening.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
standard.
I don't know, but I nearly did move to Niigata. It was kind of like after finishing teaching English, I narrowed it down to like Sendai and Niigata because there were two cities that I had friends in. But I went to Niigata, walked around it, and I went, no, not here. This isn't happening. No, it's just like a bit far out. Just not really much going on. But nice for a day trip. And edamame.
Definitely.
And the sake vending machines.
The history museum. I like the history museum there. That's good.
History museum.
It's beautiful.
It is good. It is good, to be fair. Yeah. And the sake vending machines. They're a pretty big draw card, to be fair. Can't be beat. We've got a story this week. How interesting facts, and I didn't really know this. How close do you think Russia is to Japan? Without looking at anything in front of you on the screen.
Without anything.
You better not have read anything.
Without looking at the story I pre-read, so I know exactly how.
God damn it.
It's that kind of strait between the sort of Vladivostok area of Russia and Japan. It seems relatively chunky. We're talking like, you know, probably bigger than the British Channel, but maybe not.
Oh, no, it's big. That's very big. Like the distance across the Sea of Japan is pretty wide.
In between
hundreds of miles.
We're talking like the most northern part of Hokkaido to where Russia trails off.
Yeah, so I thought that was the closest point to Japan, right? The area of Cape Sawyer and Wakkanai, where I went with my good friend Pete earlier in the year, and that from there on a clear day, which we didn't have unfortunately, you can see Sakhalin. You can see the island of Sakhalin, which is a massive island and used to be Japanese controlled up until World War II. But I thought that was the closest point. There, it isn't though. There is a closer point. There's an island called Kunashir that I didn't really know about on the east coast of Hokkaido. Now, there's a lot of disputed islands along the east Hokkaido side. If you look at a map of Japan, they're called the Kuril Islands. And I think literally the day before World War II ended, Russia sneakily went, let's take them over right now, and took them
let's
away
have that.
And they've had them ever since. And Japan has not been happy about this, and they've tried everything to get them back, but it ain't gonna happen. And I think they've kind of given up now. And I think maybe that's why you don't really hear about Kunashir, because it is politically disputed. But beautiful chain of islands. I kind of want to go there. If you look at photos of them, it's an incredible landscape. They're just a bunch of volcanoes that stretch across between Japan and Kamchatka. Beautiful part of the world that I'd love to explore. Mm. But someone recently, a Russian dude, decided he wanted asylum in Japan. So he swam between Kunashir to Shibetsu on the east coast of Hokkaido. And it's a pretty treacherous right. swim. It's only 12 miles. So closest point Japan is 12 miles, 20 kilometers. But it's very cold water, even in the summertime. And it's not a nice place to sort of swim, really, given the currents and whatnot. But he did it. And he's ended up in Shibetsu claiming asylum. He wants to not be in Russia anymore, basically. And it's very much a far cry, isn't it, from Europe, where there's lots of migrants traveling across the continent at any time, whereas Japan really doesn't have that issue, given its geographical location. But this is one of those rare times that you've actually had someone who's managed to make it across the sea to Japan and try and get asylum. Fun fact, it takes 50 minutes to swim a mile. So it takes about 8 hours to swim that area. If you survive it, which I don't think most people would.
Surely a little boat would be preferable. But the guy clearly desperate. If indeed he definitely came over swimming, he might just be going, hey, I swam it, I'm cool.
Yeah, I was thinking, do you think he lied? Do you think he made that up?
I mean, it just seems like the simplicity of getting a rudimentary boat. But then maybe you just didn't want to be spotted from the sea. I'm surprised there aren't more sort of people sneaking over on a jet ski if it's only 12 miles.
Well, I think the island of Kunashir is barely populated. It's like it's in the hundreds, if not small thousands. But to be fair, if I'd done this, I would have been like, yeah, I swam it, even though I'd definitely got a boat. But what about that boat? Nah, I swam it. Definitely swam it.
You don't need to concern yourself with that boat, mate. You don't need to worry about it.
But it's quite a big deal in Japan, right? Because this just doesn't happen. So it's been a big news story that a lot of Japanese people are surprised, this idea of a Russian guy swimming over to the shores of Japan and trying to become a resident here, basically. The only other time I've heard anything like this was North Korea, when they did some unpleasant things like abduct people from along the Sea of Japan coastline in the 70s and 80s and turned them into teachers of Japanese. Mm. All sorts of shady things that went on along the Sea of Japan. But that whole area of Hokkaido, I'd love to go and check it out, the east side. Like that, I don't know anyone that's been there, but I know the scenery is jaw-dropping. And also, I watched the film recently. What's the one with Jodie Foster? Contact. Is it Contact?
Right.
Have you seen that film?
Was that there? That wasn't set there, was it?
There's a trans. They make some spoilers. If you haven't seen Contact, came out like 1997. You've had 20 years to watch it, right? They one of the transport that she uses to transcend time and space and see some aliens. There's one in Cape Canaveral. It gets blown up by terrorists. Spoilers, and then surprise, surprise, it turns out the Japanese built one in Hokkaido, literally in between. And I saw it on the map. It's right in between Shibetsu and the island of Kunashir. So, fun fact there. If you want to go and see the space travel device that Jodie Foster used,
Chris, you are in a situation where you could literally go now. You could literally start driving now, mate. You could make landfall by tomorrow morning.
I am still scared of going to Hokkaido again after I ran out of fuel, Pete. I've got a phobia of Hokkaido.
Get yourself a little
now.
Jerry can. Get yourself a couple of cans of of fuel.
Or don't be an idiot and keep an eye on the tank and try and fill it up while driving across mountain ranges.
You could do that as well.
Good God. I wonder what will happen with this guy, though. Will he get deported? Will they put him in a boat and just send it back over the 12-mile strait? It remains to be seen. I can't say... I'm overly optimistic about his future. Apparently, he was dressed in all sportswear. Sneakers, a brimmed hat, a face mask.
Cool.
How did he swim with all that on? So much of this story doesn't add up. It doesn't add up, does it?
Full tracksuit, sort of like that kind of Gopnik. Is Gopnik an offensive? I don't think it's an offensive term. The guy who's in Grand Theft Auto 4. No,
I was thinking that Nico, right?
Nico.
I'm picturing Nico swimming over to Japan. Oh, good
hello.
God. Oh, man. We'll be back with the fax machine. Your questions just in a moment.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this yeah. shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
Oh, we got a Percy one from Mike. Hello, Mike. Hello, Fried Chicken King, Chris and Shibuya Pete. My name is Mike, and I'm from Canada. I've got a question for you guys regarding graffiti culture in Japan. How are graffitis seen in Japan? I'm enjoying the plural there, graffitis. Are they common, looked down upon? Are there graffiti parks for kids to have fun like there are in Canada? Thanks and keep up the awesome podcasts and videos, Mike. I mean, I've not heard of these graffiti parks. Can kids just come and graffiti, or is it just a park that happens to have graffiti in it that you can skateboard
graffiti
around?
Park. That sounds amazing. I remember, like, whenever I go back to the UK, I get like a mild reverse culture shock. And one of the first things you notice, apart from the smell of sausage rolls, is when you go on a train, aka the Paddington Express, my favourite train, between Heathrow and central London, 17 minutes. You're going down the railway and you look out the window and all the sides of the railway line, all the walls are covered in graffiti, right? And some of it's pretty cool. Some of it not so good. Effort required.
Very basic.
Yeah. And you just don't get that in Japan, right? Like occasionally you'll see it, but that whole graffiti culture really doesn't kind of exist here. Which is good and bad, I guess. Like it, I mean, to be fair, it's rare to find litter or chewing gum on the floor, let alone graffiti on the wall. Like they're very much taught here to not make a mess of the environment or treat things, you know, with disdain.
With disrespect, yeah. I think obviously we revere people like Banksy in England. So, you know, I imagine there's quite a few kind of pretenders to his crown kind of rolling around. But I just sort of remember sort of moving to London, sort of going, Jesus Christ, there is a lot of graffiti on the walls. And as long as it's good, I don't mind it. There was a kid who talks on the tube. He used to, or on buses and stuff. There's a kid who just used to write TOX, T-O-X, and the year. So TOXO 1, TOXO 2, TOXO 3, TOXO 4. And he was the most prolific tagger in London. There was not a single, train, bus, what have you, that didn't have like loads of graffiti from TOXO 9, TOXO 8, TOXO 7. And they found him. And he's just a school kid, just like a teenager. It was absolutely insane. He was so prolific. It was in a situation where pretty much every bus was tainted by one of his scratchy, like, school compass little creations in the back of the
What was
chair.
His motivation? What drove him, Pete?
Just TOX. He just wanted to be the TOX guy. Just wanted to be the TOX guy.
What ridiculous. I don't know. I'd love to find someone who does graffiti on the walls of London and try and work out like what drives them to do it. They do it because they like art. They just want to ruin the wall.
You can only do it at night as well, which is hilarious.
Absolutely. We've got a story here for a question from Matt from the top of England, Northumberland. Hi, Chris and Pete. Worshipping at a different temple or shrine around Japan gives good luck in an aspect of life. For example, for a good education, a good harvest, or fertility. If you were a temple or a shrine, what would your good luck revolve around if people worshipped you? And why? Matt from Northumberland. What would you... If you were a temple, Pete, what would you embody?
Good knees. Nothing more important than good, non-painful knees. Joint health. Mine would be joint health, I think.
Why? Joint health. Coming from someone who's 40, I'm not surprised. My good luck would revolve around finding money in random places. I found like 200 yen in my pocket the other day.
Ooh, 200 yen in note or just 1,000 notes?
Oh, it's just a 200 yen in coins.
Oh, 200 yen, sorry. 200, not 2,000.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, Pete. 2,000, if I found that, that'd be a game changer.
Oh, well, whenever I go on holiday, I always find paper money. I always find paper money in the weirdest place. And it's really upsetting because I was just like, oh, for crying out loud, I've just got some more money out thinking I had no money left. And it turns out it was just in a bag pocket somewhere. So, oh, for crying out loud. I've got so many suitcases where the front has got like a front pocket that just has a load of bloody Japanese money in there. Terrible, terrible stuff.
Just so much to get rid of, isn't it? I've got a little a little coin jar that I throw all my change in these days, and then whenever I need to dispose of it, I'll just go to a vending machine and use all the tens, put those in. That's the secret to getting rid of the ridiculous tens. Amount of change of Japan, right? Use it on vending machines. Got one here from Cliff. I'll let you deal with Cliff.
Hello, Cliff. Hello, Cliff. Hello, Chris and Pete. What are your thoughts on Gachapon toys and figures and Japanese soft vinyl toys, Sofubi? And do you guys collect any of them? Keep up the great work on the podcast and the YouTube channel at Cliff. Do you collect many? Because obviously you go around Akihabara and you are astonished with the level of sexuality they bestow on these unlovable little well-painted, well-crafted vinyl figurines. And have you got? I don't see you as a sort of person who would be going down the trash taste style cupboard upon cupboard of sexually charged vinyl figurines.
Not just yet, no. But I mean, I do have an interest. I had a weird phase, I'm going to say, in the first half of this year, it sort of died off now, where I did actually start buying a lot of Gachapon toys and figurines, because some of them are really cool. Like, there's one brand where you get a little bell that you'd get in a restaurant. You know, when you like go to a restaurant in Japan, you've got the bell on the table, you hit the bell and it'll make a noise or whatever. You can get those. You can get the varieties of bells. I got some lights, taxi lights. The lights showing if a taxi, Japanese taxi, is like full or empty or traveling somewhere. I got that as well. But yeah, I started getting all these things and I realized, what am I doing? Why has it come to this?
There's literally no point of...
Well, my shelf was just getting covered in Gachapon toys.
Yeah.
Drenched in
toys. I must admit, every time I go to Japan, I come back with so many, like, hermit crabs and little toy phones. I was obsessed with them. I bought my dad, you know, like the anti-piracy little cinema figurines, little cinema mascots they've got in Japanese cinemas.
Yeah, yeah.
Where
yeah.
it's like, it's a guy that's got a little camcorder for a head and another one that's got like a flashing police light for a head. And he's the policeman chasing this illegal camcorder man.
Yeah, I bought one dance. Of those.
Yeah, I bought like a little one. And my dad was like, oh, I like that little fella. So the last two times I've been, I bought him the protagonist and the antagonist of the piece, the camcorder man and the blue light kind of policeman, and so they're next to
mine. That's such a weird thing to buy
in Hartlepool. It is very random that they would have that in their lounge.
Bloody hell, what did they make of it? What did they,
I don't know, like, all the things you could have bought. My dad just liked them. There was a really nice little Gachapon series which was like, it was animals, like jungle animals, with big chins. That was a big thing for a while. It was these kind of like little Gachapon animals, beautifully painted, beautifully crafted, beautifully cast, but they just had big fucking chins. It was so good. They're fantastic. Love them.
There's so many odd things. I love that. Your dad probably like, yeah, bring me back something Japanese, Pete, and you come back with a character that's used an anti-piracy message.
To be fair, the amount of DVDs he used to copy from Love Film and Netflix when it was a DVD concern, he needs that more than anyone, to be quite frank.
Shocking.
He's got a library of DVDs he's copied. Terrible.
Dear, oh dear. Have you inherited this addiction to crime, Pete? Stealing films?
It's too much like being a library. He's just basically a librarian, just fixing that up.
I always get requests from my family to like bring back something Japanese when I come back to the UK, and I'm like, what do you mean, what do you want, like bring back a geisha stuck in a box? Like, I don't know what could possibly be good. I always bring back sake and umeshu, and then they take one swig and they go, oh, I don't like that, but thank you,
no thanks,
and I've just wasted $30-$40 £30-$40 some sake.
Well, I mean, the thing about Japan is there's very few places where you can actually there's very few places in the world where you can buy something that is truly unique and you won't get anywhere else. That's why I always buy those automaton sort of vinyl plastic musical instruments, which are the build quality is terrible, they always break, but I've got about 9 of them now. I've started putting them on my walls. It's pretty astonishing. I went to a car boot last week, speaking of vinyl figurines, and I bought it was like a nudie action man. It was this old 50s action man that was like in a terrible state of disrepair. The form was rotting. He was completely naked. He was this weird brown colour, and his face was like kind of like pure white. It was so weird. It was such a weird kind of old nude action man. You couldn't pose him because the form would break. And the man was so upset that I was taking it off him. He was like, oh, I've had him for ages. I'm really going to miss him. I was like, well, don't put it up for sale. Don't sell it at the car boot, for crying out loud.
Well, he probably thought, no one's mad enough to buy this bloody thing.
No,
I'll just have it
exactly.
for show. Oh, but Pete Donaldson's here to
I'll take it.
If you want to get rid of something, Pete Donaldson's your man. He'll take anything.
Correct.
Your house must be filled to the brim of obscure items. Good God. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in, guys, to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back in the next few days to all over again here on the Abroad in Japan podcast. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days, and we'll see you then back here on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.